I went to the temple of Isaiah 6 the end of last year, and the seraphim were there, and they, for some reason, I've been there lots of times and normally just engage at the altar and present my heart there and things and do some DNA unraveling things, but they were looking at me, you know, like really, really looking at me, and I was freaked out by it because I was just like normally just doing my own thing, and they're like looking right through me and really attentive, and I saw their eyes and I caught capture the fire in their eyes, and so they sort of almost looking as if I should be doing something, you know. It was really like, well, you know, well, why aren't you doing it? And I will, you know, and that's what I felt. And I will, what am I supposed to do? You know, so I'm standing there and it's like, well, they're sort of looking behind me. So I'm looking behind me, and actually there was this large bow, with arrows, and on the wall, as I turned round, and when I actually looked, and I never really looked at what was round the top of the thing, there were all sorts of maps, sort of dimensional shift maps. And it wasn't like normal maps, like it's almost 3D holographic things around. And I'm sort of like, oh, wow, I never really noticed that. You know, it's, I mean, it's surprising. I mean, I don't look up a lot, you know, when I'm sort of focusing on doing something. And it's like, sometimes it's like, woo, look at all that. So I turned around, this big bow and arrow, and with sort of a quiver of golden arrows. And I felt the need to fire them at this map. And so, I mean, you've probably seen the picture of it, but so the map was the whole thing of the map of the US and the whole sort of North American continent. And so I fired these arrows out. And they had this like red cord attached to the arrow. So, you know, I fired it out, and, you know, and where I was in the northwest. That was where the first arrow was, and then it fired out from there to the southeast and there, and each arrow had this red cord, and it sort of formed this matrix of connections. And it sort of overlaid in what, when I sort of look back at it, looked like, you know, a sort of shape that connected everything, but it was a pyramid shape. So it looked like that. And I mean, that's, yeah, my rough estimation of what it looked like, because it was three-dimensional and holographic. So it was, that's as good as I could do. Yeah. So if you look down on that, it looks like that, but actually the middle is the top of a pyramid. So the top of a mountain. And, you know, I knew that this was, all about government, establishing government, that government would link, that those areas would link. So, you know, I've been involved, you know, down in the sort of, southeast area quite a bit. And I've been right up into the south, northeast area. And so, but this was very much centered around things from the northwest, and then the connections made from here. So, you know, when I leave here, I'm flying all the way across right down to Atlanta. So, you know, I'm going from the northwest right down to the southeast. And I think there's something significant about that, from what would be taken here to connect up with there. So it was all really about those regions having government, and then that government joining with other government and establishing those connections. Ultimately, there will be a bench of three and an angel of the US. And there will be one person who represents one of those regions on that bench. So someone up in this area is going to represent the whole of the US on a bench of three, or one of the, as an angel of the house. But each of those areas is like a triangle, a governmental area, when you look at it. So you have the whole area between the northwest and the northeast. Into the center forms the side of the pyramid. And then all those things connect up. So they're all establishing places, and in those places is where the cities of refuge will be formed. And so that was something which, you know, I really felt was significant. It was something that was important. I did fire some arrows at some other places around the world at the time, which I'm not telling anyone about, because I don't want to, you know, get people to ask me to things, because I might have fired an arrow over there somewhere. So, So if they ask me, and one of the places I fired an arrow, I've already been invited to go. So, and I haven't told anyone about the arrow. So, you know, I'm looking for what God does and opens up the door, not what I can do because people will catch the wrong end of it. So this, I think this is really significant. Now that pattern is a global pattern, which actually is the pattern of heaven, Mount Zion. It's a mountain. It's a triangle. Loads of faces of the four faces of God that make up that picture. And when you look at that and understand the nature of what it is, see, the New Jerusalem, you know, people say it's a square or a cube. It isn't. It's a triangle. It's got a square base, and Jesus is the capstone. If you look at a pyramid, this is why I sort of have a fascination with pyramids. I've been to the Great Pyramid of Giza and been in it. I went back on the timeline to find out how they did it because I really wanted to know how they made it. Found that they made it using technology of light and sound. So they cut rocks with light and they lifted and transported stuff with sound. That's how they did it. They didn't use loads of slaves and have loads of sand. You know, they didn't do it like that. You know, so in that pyramid there is a trading floor, and it's a interesting place, and there are loads of other pyramids in that area, 400 of them, you know, and some of them are out under the desert. So there were places aligned absolutely to magnetic north, south, east, west. You know, I mean, you know, if you think how that would be possible with a load of people with a load of slaves pulling rocks on, you know, it didn't happen that way.
No.
It was supernaturally created, basically, with light and sound technology. So heaven, the mountain, is like a pyramid. And, you know, where it talks about Jesus being the capstone, it doesn't mean cornerstone. It's translated cornerstone in our English translations, but the original actually said capstone. And the capstone is the little pyramid, the last stone that brings the whole thing together. So it's a pyramid on top of the pyramid. And it says Jesus is the capstone. And the New Jerusalem actually is shaped like that because they're a representation of God's government. You know, and you see it talks about mile wide and miles to that and high, but it goes into the center. So all that stuff is a pattern of government, and every place is patterned after that. So in this region of the Northwest, you will have that pattern. There will be a bench of three, and there will be an angel of the house that made up from four places that create that pattern. It may not look like that nice and geometrically on the map, but it will be north, south, east, west. There will be people who come from that. And then that each area within that will have the same pattern. So there will be a pattern of that here over this region in the north of the northwest. And so God is looking to establish patterns of heaven on the earth. And that pattern is what we'll begin to see. There'll be threes and ones coming together. So some of the things, you know, just sort of what God said about some of this stuff. He said, the lion roared, calling me to release a new sound, a new call. The old order will end and the new order must be ready to take responsibility. There are so many mountain ranges occupied by dragons and giants because of the failure of the Moses generation to cross over into their heavenly authority. I saw mountain ranges and ranges are all over the globe, empty. But empty of our authority, but actually not empty of other authority. And that was what is so sad, because those things are available for government. So I saw many mountains with three thrones on them, waiting for benches of three to rise up and take their places. Many, many, many. And, you know, this sort of inspired me and stirred me to start calling out for those mountains to be occupied. So many who fail to answer the call of their destiny. Because God has been calling people to this. It's not just, you know, the last 6 months, 2 years. This call has been going on for 40 years. You know, God has been looking for a generation who would respond. You know, and that generation has not responded. So he's now calling another generation who will come out from that generation. Because the Joshua generation came from the Moses generation. Joshua and Caleb went round the 40 years. You know, so that's why there's not many really, really young people involved in these things. Because they're being called out, having gone through the wilderness. You know, and so many have failed to answer that. So many too busy with ministry to become friends who have been working for me in long over mandates. In other words, they were given a mandate, but they're over. And they're still doing it. Because they've not embraced a fresh mandate. Now, it didn't mean that they were doing anything wrong. They were doing the things they were mandated to do. But those mandates ended. And they didn't realize. And again, you know that happens. You know, it happened with Samson. You know, it happened. You know, the glory left the temple. Jesus left it desolate. And they just carried on doing the same old stuff. You know, the temple veil was ripped up between bottom, top to bottom, and they still carried on doing the same things. You know, even though he wasn't there. And so when people have built something and everything's around it, you know, livelihood, money, jobs, you know, ministry, reputation, you know, they carry on with it sometimes when it should have been long finished. Yeah. So I'm releasing the call to Joshua's and Caleb's to arise and be the sound for the next generation to resonate with. Now, God is looking for people to resonate with him so that people can resonate with them and resonate with him. So I'm calling fathers and mothers to align their hearts with mine so I can turn the hearts of the children back to their heavenly destinies. So this is Joshua and Caleb's arm, fathers and mothers. Now, there's who are there for that generation. You know, not just the next generation, but the generation that needs to be going in to prepare for what's coming. Son, become the sound of the lion roaring, the new frequency that will cause a resonance to take place like never before. You have accepted responsibility for two scrolls, which I did. And then it says there are more coming. I thought, thank you, right, very much. You must be ready. The hills must be laid low, the valleys raised, and the way made straight so that there can be a highway of holiness that will lead to the ancient past once again. Cherubim and fiery swords must be embraced to access the way. There's a cost to go through it, you know. Look to the constellations for signs of impending upheaval as the affairs of the nations are administered by the sons of God once more. I'm not into a lot of signs and stuff. I don't take much notice of it. I just want to go and talk to God. But the end of old orders are always accompanied by signs. And if you look at the end of Egypt, the end of Babylon, the end of Assyria, they were always about things stopping in the heavens. Because it says the stars and the things are signs and governors. So it's about recognizing that old end orders and new end begins. So there's a lot of talk about stuff in the stars and all that. And you get in Acts where it talks about sun and moon and the stars and things happening. You know, and people are still looking for it to happen. It happened in AD 70. But there are things that it says here, and I just take what God said. You know, it's not something I would say because I'm just not that bothered by that stuff. But God does, and God says something. The stars will release their light and the glory to the sons of God once more. Resonance of their light and sound once again restored to divine order. Announce it, herald it, blow the silver trumpet, ecclesia arising, you know, it is. The ecclesia is going to rise out of the ashes, if you like, of the rubble of the old mountains. So the church can crumble into dust, and let's see if the ecclesia arise. You know, answering creation's groan with resonant frequencies of heaven on earth as suns arise to vibrate to the rhythm of the Father's heart. It's just something about this rhythm, you know, you drum circles, rhythm, vibration, frequency. It's all the heartbeat of God. You know, it's like we're going to need to hear the heartbeat of God. That's why we can put our head on his chest. And that's why John, the apostle, who put his head on his chest of Jesus, wrote a gospel which was totally different from the others. Because it's all about the identity of Jesus, the I am, the coming in me. Doing the greater works, abiding in me, abiding in the vine. You don't get that in any of the other gospels, which were just almost historic accounts of what Jesus did. This was about the very nature of Jesus. And that's why John was able to go and call into the heavenly realms, because he was drawn to the heart of God in intimacy. He didn't just put his head on there and go to sleep. he absorbed the frequency of Jesus's heart. I mean, and then when we do that, we do the same thing. You know, when we get close to him, we come into a vibrational frequency with him. We align ourselves with that rhythm. You know, that's the sort of yod, hey, vav, hey of the life, breath of life, breathing in and out, the rhythm of God. But we need to get close and we need to embrace the Father's heart and listen and then come into agreement and alignment with it. There's a nice picture of what's coming. It's like, ooh, breakthrough as we follow the path. You know, there's some nice stuff that we've got to come in. There may be some other stuff that we have to deal with, but there's a good future ahead. So when I was looking over the northwest, and I did so somewhat before I come, but I couldn't look into the atmosphere until the other night, and I didn't really like what I saw. And there was a lot of disturbance in the atmosphere the other night. And I was like, it woke me up, and so I don't like getting woken up. So I was awake at 3 o'clock for the next 3 or 4 hours doing some stuff, until the next night when I had a really nice good sleep. But it says, you know, I rose up above the northwest to see the mountains and the pyramids being established in the heavens and on the earth. So I could start to see the government forming and the places where government would form. I saw this fractal pattern. You know, a fractal is a picture within a picture and a picture of the same thing. You know, and they're made up of, those who know technical things, Mandelbrot equations and Fibonacci number sequences and all that sort of stuff. And they're amazing to watch fractal images form, you know, and they're patterns within patterns, you know. And I saw that. There were patterns of government. So I saw a larger pattern for the northwest, the whole north area up here, Seattle area and around, and then east into Yakima and west into Portland and Vancouver and south into Corvallis. So I saw government starting to form. But there were patterns within those patterns which were in each of the areas. So I saw these periods of government over the states and over the regions here. And I saw a pyramid in each place and a pyramid in each place within a place and ecclesias rising up. And I think, you know, a lot of you have been booted out of churches. You need to embrace ecclesias because they need to be established. It is through the ecclesia of God that the manifold wisdom will be made known. So don't throw the baby out of the bathwater. You know, God works through the ecclesia. It's just a gathering of people. It's not an institutional structure like it's become. So when you call the gathering, you're actually saying an ecclesia. You know, when you're calling things, it's like, but God is going to use that and he wants to establish government for that and a blueprint for it. And a bench of three for it, and an angel for it, and then release the mountains for it, and then begin to govern. And then some of those things will come into Cities of Refuge because they will carry that. You know, Cities of Refuge has a blueprint which starts in embracing people and equipping them and mentoring them and receiving the harvest, and it then releasing them into their destiny. You know, each will have seven mountains, whatever, but God is going to do this. And I know the people he's calling have been the people who've been not really connected to a lot of it, you know. So, you know, I feel God is saying, if you're in a place that isn't willing to transition, get out of it. Don't try and change something within which is not going to change. If they have some sort of apostolic leadership which is willing to embrace and pursue, then, you know, work with it. But if you're in a place, don't be loyal to a structure that is going to fall. Yeah. You know, it's just not worth it. It will cause heartache and pain. No, someone will shoot me down for saying that sort of stuff, but actually it's my heart. I don't want to see people go through and suffer misery when things collapse. You know, I want to see people start building new things. You know, but you have to leave the old to establish the new. And, you know, God is calling people to see where they are. Now, I'm helping people transition. I'm helping leadership groups transition. Meeting, you know, with a group of people, leaders, that means all sorts of things, some small groups of people. People are starting churches along this way. People who've got churches and are looking to transition. People are in transition. Transition is a really difficult process. It's so much easier to start something new. So, you know, if you're in a place where you've got no blueprint and you're not really seeing yourself that way, it's a really good opportunity to start doing it. You know, if you got a large group of people and you've already got structures in place, it's not as easy. You know, I know that even from being in a place of starting a church and being in responsibility for it, it's not easy to transition, but you can. You know, I have a lot of history and a lot of knowledge about how to transition because I've been through it, made all the mistakes you can possibly make, and I've learned from them and are still in the process of embracing it. But it's so much better than everything I can imagine, you know, from what was before, you know, but it is going on. So I'd encourage you to really look at that. So the spiritual map of the Northwest is being realigned to reflect that heavenly government. You know, don't just think of old things and don't look at what people are doing and what people have done, assuming that they would people be in government. God is looking for nameless, faceless people. Very few people who have got ministries or large churches or church organizations and doing things will embrace this. And God actually doesn't want them to, because he doesn't want people of reputation. He wants people who are willing hearts. You see, it doesn't matter whether anyone knows that there's a bench over the Northwest. It doesn't matter whether anyone knows there's a bench over this area or over the four areas that make up this area. Doesn't matter. You know, I'm in a regional bench in the UK. Other than the church I'm in and the people in the church that they're in, no one would even know what we do. And no one needs to know what we do. And we'll never publicize what we do, because it's not about people knowing what we do. It's about doing what heaven wants us to do. And what our job is to do is to call forth and release other people who don't know we're doing it to embrace their destinies and begin to establish the same where they are. And that's what you do in the realms of heaven. You know, if you want a position where people think, wow, yeah, I'm on a bench, great, isn't it great? It's like, forget it, you know. It's like, A, God wouldn't even let you do it because your heart wouldn't be right.
Yeah.
But B, if you tried to do it, it wouldn't work because your motive would be trading on the wrong floor to start with, you know. It's all about just willing to accept the position, because in humility, you know you're called, and then you begin to administrate it. And the whole purpose of administrating it is to release others, is to release the cities of refuge. See, this structure over the area is going to call those cities of refuge into being. It will call the people. It will release the blueprints for them. People will then hear the resonance of a blueprint. And people, some of you got it. I mean, here, you know, this will be a city of refuge here. You know, this will be a place that equips people, mentors people, equips people in that area. It will, because I can see that. You know, I saw that when I first came. That's why the portals are here and other things are here. It will. No, it needs a blueprint, clarity to it. You've already got most of the blueprint. It just needs clarity. Then it's a call to who's going to be part of the government of that. Then it'll all start working out. You know, but that will be much easier when there is a government over all of it, which calls that and supports it and does things in the heavens to facilitate other people fulfilling their destinies and visions. So, you know, we're this whole area, there's going to be a realignment of government. And, you know, it isn't going to be, and I can tell you this, it isn't going to be those people who would think, oh yeah, they're the people. That's not what God's choice is. You know, he didn't choose David's older brothers, whether they're bigger, handsomer, stronger, or anything else. He chooses the man after his own heart. And some people, although are doing amazing things, haven't got time for this because they're building the stuff on the earth. See, people have to establish cities of refuge, and they will have to do a lot of work. But you still need the people who are going to facilitate them doing it, whether they know it or not, to be providing the resource, releasing the angels, doing the calling, you know, shifting things to make things easy for people. That's what they'll do. Doing the court cases to remove the legal rights that block and hinder. You know, those are the sorts of things that overall benches will begin to do. And those overall benches won't have an ecclesia. Their call is to release others to be ecclesia. They're just called to start to administrate at a higher level. They make legislative decrees. They call certain places into being. They do things like that, you know, and I know people here, some of you are called to do that, you know, and some of you think, well, I don't think I could do it, you know. Well, if you don't feel inadequate, then you're not called for the job anyway, because none of us are adequate. You know, it's actually none of us are capable of doing it in our own strength. And if we think we can, then we're already halfway for making a mess. You know, what we need to do is realize that the call comes with the ability to do it. God gives you the revelation. God gives you the resource. You just go and seek him. You do all the things we're saying. You go to the mandate. You go to the courts. You get the mandate. You go around the ark. You do all the things we've been doing and practice him. You just put it into practice day by day, you know, and God will release it. So I saw these mountain ranges coming out of the ground. I saw the numbers on them, 3 + 1 = 4. I saw some being 3 + 4 = 7, some 3 + 7 = 10, which was formation of the ecclesia, and then 3 × 4 = 12. And that's the governmental areas. So, you know, those may mean things to people or not mean people right now, but those are the things that are going to be reflected because it's about government. And I saw angels being dispatched out of heaven with scrolls, with blueprints for the 3 + 1. You know, that's the first place. Get the 3 + 1, the bench plus the angel for those things. And there are scrolls with blueprints being released as we speak. They're ready. The angels are there just waiting to come. So each mountain really has three angels assigned to it. So you have and you see the three angels, which are the heavenly assignments to each thing. Lion, ox, eagle. That's the heavenly agreement. And they're only looking for an earthly agreement with the man to say, yeah, we'll open a window. We'll bring agreement to see this falling onto the earth and blessing the earth. Now, this works as a pattern of heavenly government. The four faces open a window. Each of us is called to reflect the full image of the order of Melchizedek in us, body, soul, and spirit, as Father is heavenly Father and Son and Spirit. Therefore, the man is where we come into agreement all the time. You know, so God's just looking for that. You know, true government always produces an open heaven and a window and a portal for the everlasting doors. That's what it does. It opens things up. Opens things up for blessing. Opens things up for God's purpose to be released. That's their desire in the heart, people who want to see that things fulfilled. So, you know, to form an ark of agreement, and that's why you need king and priest, then you need apostle and prophet to establish, you know, the blueprints of things. Now, that can be one person to start with, because we all carry all four. No. Now, you think, well, how can two, if there's only one person? Because actually it's the two parts, the priestly and the kingly in the person in agreement, and the apostolic and the prophetic in the person in agreement. So one person can start this. God's looking for one who's willing to embrace the call, and then they start calling the others to come. Now, if you've got loads of people willing in the first place, awesome. You know, where I've been helping several churches start this from scratch, you know, the first thing was seek God for the blueprint. You know, and usually one person will be that who carries that apostolic heart for vision, and they get a blueprint, or they get some of the blueprint. And then they start to share the blueprint. And then others, as they all seek to God together, they say, okay, let's take this into heaven. Let's see what God's saying. Then you get the seven mountains of that blueprint revealed. And then people start to get called, and people start to feel their call to the government. It just begins, the blueprint just releases the government. You don't start with government and get a blueprint. You start with blueprint and get a government. Because the government carries within it the very nature of the blueprint, which gets released. So this is what God is looking for. Someone who's willing to say, yeah, I'll go and get a blueprint. You know, someone will engage in heaven as a royal priest and bring heavenly government to earth as that apostolic foundation, you know. And if no one else will do it, you know, I'll certainly go and start releasing stuff, you know, because my desire is for what's going on in the Northwest to really outwork, because I know how significant it is. You know, government will be established. It's just a matter of whether who will accept the call to do it. You know, I believe a pattern will be established in the Northwest that will replicate in the Northeast, Southeast, Southwest, over the whole nation. It's going to start here. And you might think, why is it going to start here? Doesn't every place think it's going to start here? Some places do, some places don't. There is a reason why it's going to start here. Usually God wants to have the last laugh. So he stops at the place where the enemy has the biggest hold. You know. You know, that's why God chose someone like Paul. You know, who was the enemy, who was persecuting and killing Christians. So God has the last laugh. Ha ha ha.
Come on.
Yeah. The enemy's become our footstool, place of worship. So that's going to be, this is going to be a footstool for the Lord, this area. It's going to rest in this place. Yeah, so the Northwest has four regional city mandates. It's going to issue the call to government for Joshua Generation Centers, Cities of Refuge, whatever you want to call them. It's going to be a call for that. Pioneers, forerunners, spies, apostolic people, breakthrough people. That's who he's looking to call. Jesus is our example, who was willing to lay down his life. These sorts of people have to be willing to lay down their lives. You know, die to everything, of the old wineskin. You know, you can't bring an old wineskin with you. You know, you can't put new wine in an old wineskin. It just doesn't work. You know, it's got to be a new wineskin. It's got to be a new way of doing this. So, you know, things I do is like, you know, I call for the release of those heavenly blueprints and scrolls from the House of Scrolls for the Northwest to release it to the Southeast, because I want to take something with me when I leave. You know, I don't want to leave having seen nothing established. You know, even if it's, I can see it in the heavens, it's like, I want to take something with me. You know, the Northwest, God said this, the last shall be first and the first shall be last. Now, I would imagine that when people started off, they all started on the other coast. Because that's where Columbus landed, and that's where, if the Vikings came before that, they must have landed. And then this coast must have been the last place they got to.
As far as Europeans, it took 300 years to just sail into Puget Sound.
Yeah.
From the time they...
Yeah, and that's what I felt. It's like, you know, people got here last. But they got here last, and they will be first in what God is doing. Because he turns it around. So I called for the three angels of this whole region to be released, and they are waiting. They're ready. Now, the spirit of pioneers and the trailblazers of the new order, that's what God wants here. Wow. It's like there are pioneers who have pioneered to get here, but now they've all settled because they couldn't find anywhere else to go. Where else could you go? You know, now you can go up. You know, it's like there are going to be court cases for the government of the Northwest. You're going to have to do court cases. You're going to have to dispossess the enemy. You're going to have to do some practical things to establish government. But there are papers that are going to be released to establish the government, which are going to change culture. You know, culture will be changed in this region as a result of the government of God established. New mandates in heaven are being released. You know, I saw a lack of true heavenly government. I mean, when I looked into what was going on in the atmosphere, there's just no government. You know, I know a few of you are doing your best and trying some stuff, but you're not invested fully in the place of government, and therefore the enemy is running amok. Basically, I mean, it was chaos when I looked up there, you know, and I saw some things and it disturbed me enough to silence some of them because I wanted a good night's sleep the next night, which I got. But I, you know, I saw the thrones on the mountains and they're all unoccupied. You know, I saw that the authority was usurped by dragons and giants, but there were three particular dragons. I saw the everlasting doors pretty much closed, but I did see portals begin to open, and I saw that there is a battle going on in the atmosphere, and you have to assign angels to it. Those three angels of this region, you got to get them on board and start assigning them to clear the atmosphere and start doing some things there. There's a battle to release the culturally produced settlers who have come as far as they can. That's what I felt. It's like everyone was pioneers when they left. And when they got here, the whole thing has produced settlers who are now, it's cultural to be settlers. And none of you has gone as far as you can go. There's so much more to do and to go. And God's desire is to reawaken the pioneering spirit, the spirit of adventure and enterprise amongst people here. You know, he really does. You know, this is why you have the space industry here and the aero industry here. It's based here because where can you go? Up. And that's prophetic about where God wants this region to go. Up.
Yeah.
to take possession of the atmosphere and the air and the realms of heaven. You know, these things are not accidental, you know, because that's God's mandate for this area. The secular world picks it up first because the church is so far lagging behind. You know, it's time to catch up and overtake. You know, because when they do start going up, you want to make sure you're there first. You know, carrying the government to facilitate all those things that are coming. So there are new territories to occupy and new boundaries to cross. The land has been occupied physically, but not spiritually. You know, you may have occupied it physically, but not spiritually. So it needs the spiritual ground to be occupied. And God is raising up new spiritual pioneers who will go further and higher. And God is calling for those who will embrace their eternal destinies to go for it. Come on, go for it. Don't feel you can't do it. You can. So I saw blueprints. I saw blueprints for many cities of refuge being released in the realms of heaven. They're all there just looking for people to say, yeah, I'll take a blueprint. You know, I'll take that blueprint. Mm-hmm. You know, it'll be me. I'll go for it. He's only looking for someone to be willing. Don't have to be experts. You can be amateurs at this. But if you're willing, he'll teach you. Who will enter through the veils and receive them? Who will take the heavenly places of authority as royal priests to enable the shadows of heaven to be seen on the earth? Who's going to do it? You know, God's looking at you right now and he's asking you the question. Will you embrace your destiny? So the Northwest will be a pattern, a place where the government of heaven will be formed on the earth. For out of obscurity of the shadows, the last will become first. You know, God is calling you out of the obscurity because he's going to use, what does it say? The foolish things to confound the wise. Because we can all be foolish in worldly ways. But we can be wise in the ways of God in the heavens. You know, the battle lines are drawn. Who will take responsibility to direct the troops and release the strategies of heaven? Because they're there. All you need for everything you're going to do is already there. It will be given to you if you pursue it. You know, who will ascend to the realms where true authority can be delivered? Well, he delivered, should be. Now, I saw four regions and four mountains that will unite to release the call to the new order. See, Vancouver and Portland are divided by a river in the physical realm, but must be united by the river in the spiritual. There's something about that place that is divided and needs to come together. And one looks down on the other and sees it as a poor relation. You know, and it isn't. And it needs to come together. Now, I'm going to fumble and go over there and see. So I saw waterfalls cascading out of the heavenly realms, flooding this region. Now, I'm not saying you're going to have a physical flood, although you might do, but it's definitely coming. Something is coming out of heaven. The sound, the waterfall is coming out of heaven, and it's going to flood this region. Not just sort of give it a little pitter-patter of water. It's going to be a flood. You know, it's coming. I saw different colors and fragrances and sounds producing a mighty multicolored chord, like a musical chord. It's going to be a sound that's produced up here. It's like four notes come together, you get a sound. You know, it's all very well plonking around with one note. It doesn't sound very full, but you get four notes played together. I'm not musical, but it's like, I know it sounds much better than one. And that will remove the barriers between the states and the regions to unify the whole Northwest under the government of heaven. Now, I saw seven mountains of the Northwest being raised up as three became four. So there'll be three first, and then there'll be four joined together as those who are living according to the order of Melchizedek take their positions. I saw a real mocking dragon ruling in fear and empowering a culture of inferiority and inadequacy.
Come on.
And I saw those three ruling dragons of fear, inferiority, and inadequacy. And you're going to have to defeat them. Yeah. Someone's going to go out there, and when you slay them and cut them open, all sorts is going to pour out of their bellies that you're going to have to take. All that's been robbed, all that's been taken is going to be released.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that's been robbing people because of fear, everything that's been robbing people fulfilling the destiny because of inferiority, you know, we're the last, you know, see all the stuff, and all the stuff I've heard, you know, we're the worst stuff that goes on, we're the worst place for child trafficking, we're the worst place for this. It's that sense of, this is hopeless. Mm-hmm. But actually it isn't. It's just an opportunity for God to take the worst place and turn it into the best place. Yeah. Because the worst place in Israel was Hebron, where all the giants were up in the mountains. And Caleb's thing was, give me the mountains, give me the high ground. And he took it, and Hebron became the best place known in Israel. Wow. It was the best, but it came out of the worst. Why do you think that all this stuff is going on in this area?
Right.
Because this is the place that they want to take hold of, because they don't want you to have your inheritance here. Because it can become the best and a model for everything else. You've got to deal with those three dragons. You know, someone's going to have to go up there and someone's going to have to deal with them. I love slaying dragons, by the way. I enjoy it, and I love cutting them open, and I love what pours out and that people can be blessed. I killed a huge white dragon in Ireland when I went over there for a weekend and invested the Irish bench of three in heaven. And it was like, you know, this white dragon. A white dragon is always a religious thing because it makes itself out to be white and it's not white at all. It was flying around, you know, and I saw it when I was over in the plane. I was flying over in the plane. No films, it's only a short flight. Good. So I was in this plane and I'm looking out the window and it's like, you know, I see this thing bigger than the plane, you know, in the spirit realm, but I was looking and seeing it in the natural realm, and it's like huge white dragons. Flipping heck, this is big, you know, and it was sort of following me, you know. So I get over there and I start talking to the people I'm staying with, whatever. So have you had any sort of spiritual experiences recently? So I had this dream and I was being chased by this big white dragon. I said, oh, right, okay, I know what that one is. Okay, do you want to deal with that? So I waited until the last day, you know, sort of pray. We all went into heaven, invested the bench in heaven, saw them invested in heaven. I said, right, okay, now I'm authorized to deal with this if you're in agreement. So I basically cut this thing's head off, split it open, and amazing things came out. Seven scrolls, seven scepters, seven swords, seven chests of valuables and stuff. I mean, all this sevens came out, you know, because they then need to go and establish the seven mountains for Ireland. And, you know, it's amazing what stuff comes out of them, what they've been robbed, because they usurp authority and block and hinder what God wants to release. So there are three kings, three angelic beings, three chiefs that are from God for this area, and they're preparing to make an appearance, an entrance on the stage to open up government. And they will be part of what happens when you start to engage. They're calling for the establishment of this government.
So it's nine?
No, three. Just three of the same things. I saw them as three kings, like three chiefs. I mean, it was just how I sort of saw them. They were rulers. But they were sort of, I wouldn't say like totally Indian chiefs, but they were sort of that sort of ilk, you know. But they were calling for the establishment of government and governmental authority. They carry the scroll and the blueprint for the Northwest and the authorization for cities of refuge, you know, and they want people to engage with them so they can release it. You know, so heaven is really calling for this stuff to be established. You know, places of close proximity where there's an overlapping of heaven and earth, that's what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. You're going to start to see heaven and earth coming together. You're going to see major angelic manifestations, you know, lots of really good, cool stuff. You know, there have been quite a number of men in white linen turning up in these meetings. I mean, I don't talk about that stuff because I don't want the attention to go on of all this. Some of you have probably noticed it. You know, so you've got some historic guys, men in white linen, who from past generations have been in this area, you know, and they're interested in you taking this place back and getting the authority. So they're looking to see who's going to turn up and volunteer. So the call for the Joshua generation to rise up and to take their positions, that's what the call is. It's sons of the Most High. So who are that Joshua generation? They're going to be people with a different spirit. You know, you're going to have to be willing to cross over, and you're going to have to be willing to take possession as sons of God. You know, you're going to be forerunners. You know, no one's gone this way before. You know, other than the men in white linen and the seven spirits of God and wisdom, you can go and talk about this stuff. There aren't many people you're going to understand what you're on about. You just have to go for it. You know, trust in the process that God will give you all that you need. You know, the question is, are you going to answer the call? So the kingdom of God is all about his government being reflected on earth. It's looking for co-heirs, heirs of God, people who are going to take responsibility to demonstrate that multi-dimensional created order, to bring wholeness to it, you know, to bring wholeness to this area, you know, to start bringing the government of God, to see all those things turned around, you know, and this being known for good things, blessings, multiplications, amazing miracles, places where, you know, the blessing of God is released in such dimension that people want to come and live here because it's such a place to come and be. Rather than who wants to live up there because of all this negative stuff going on. It's like, no, people will want to come here. They'll be drawn to the light and of your rising. Start believing it. You know, it's a serious level of responsibility we're talking about. And if you look at the present situation of our planet, it will overwhelm you. If you look at the present situation of your region and local government from a heavenly perspective, it will even more overwhelm you. But don't be overwhelmed, because God is greater than all that. You know, so don't look at it from an earthly perspective. Look at it as a challenge. You know, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. You know, and you are greater and stronger and have God's authority to do this. You know, he has always got higher authority. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to him, and he gives it to you. So whatever's going on, it's nothing compared to the authority and the power of the kingdom of God. But we must rule above it. So however high those things go, you must go higher. And rule above, and then bring and release things from above down. So what I saw is that there isn't any heavenly government invested with authority to release those blueprints necessary for the city of refuge established yet. But the seats of government are all there waiting. It's looking for people to come and say yes. You know, it's like some places have already got government. You know, I've helped establish some of them, and some of them are doing some of their own stuff. You know, now there are some benches of three here in this region, but they're not called to this level of government. They're doing their own mandate of government, and they're doing that, and that's great. And some of those will be affecting change, and they'll be part of the preparation of what God's doing, but God's looking to raise up something bigger than that. Now, you have plenty of earthly governments that are building edifices in the wilderness up here. You know, you've got a lot of people and a lot of church stuff and ministry stuff which is going on. It just isn't heavenly. You know? So the mountains in the wilderness are living under expressing severe oppression. You know, I felt heavy with oppression. And it wasn't the dragon and giant oppression. It was religious oppression. Yeah. It was wrong leadership oppression. Mm-hmm. And it felt really heavy. You know? So that needs to change. You know, the way you're going to change it is you're going to have government better than that, which actually brings and lifts that oppression and begins to administrate those things and challenges to see those mountains come down. You know, many of you have had to flee and are hearing the sound and are being led by the cloud to seek this new order. And you've had to flee from that oppression. You've come out from under it because you felt the weight of it and you didn't want it anymore. But now God has led you to here. He's led you to this time, this place, because he's calling you. So, you know, there's a shaking coming, which is going to really start to reveal true government of heaven. You know, God has chosen the Northwest to establish this pattern, which he will replicate around the world. I'm serious about that, because this isn't happening anywhere. You know, I mean, I've been talking to people all over the world, you know, people in Australia particularly, and it's like they know this stuff, and they're like, but we don't know how to do it. You know? And it's like, well, nor does anybody else. We just need to get on with it. You know, so it's like, you know, if you know it's there, God will show you if you're willing to embrace him. you know. But they said, well, can you help? Well, of course I can help. But, you know, but I think by coming, this is why I was so keen to come here, you know. And I was like, when God opened the door and it was just like, you know, it's like I leapt through it because I know this place is significant. I know what God is doing in this region is really significant. That's why it's so hard. The enemy knows your redemptive destiny. He knows what you're called to do. That's why he's in opposition to it. Why the northwest? Because the north gate is where the enemy has access, always. The east gate is always where the blessing flows. The north gate has to be closed before the blessing can flow out. When it's open, the enemy floods in. So we have to raise a standard on the north gate and close it to establish the government here, which will allow all the other places to be released into government. You know, so we must close the north gate. You know, the government is not going to be made of the old Joshua Moses stuff. You know, we're not talking about old stuff. You know, we just have to forget how it's been done before. This is new. You know, well, that should fill you with hope, really. Because what's been done before, most of you have opted out of, you know. So this is new. You know, God is looking for nameless, faceless ones with no earthly positions to protect that are recognized in heaven and will command the heavenly host and the armies of God. You're going to need to command the heavenly host and the armies of God to get this job done. Because there's some pretty severe stuff up there that needs dealing with. You know, but deal with the dragons first. Deal with those three dragons, then you'll start to have access into the atmosphere. So I took a look into this realm over the region the other night, and, you know, and I've not been able to do that before I come. I've been able to look into what God was doing. I wasn't able to look into the atmosphere until I got here. I don't normally look and bother, but I was so disturbed by being woken up. It was like, you know, I needed to deal with something. You know, and it was real, you know, activity that was going on. It's in chaos. You know, it's chaotic up there. And that's because, you know, there are mountains and thrones that have not been invested for the lords and kings and sons to occupy those positions. It's chaos because everything's running amok. You know, so we've got to start operating in that. The reason God has opened up the relationships for me in the Northwest is because of its significance. You know, there's such a significance. This is why, you know, I saw things all over the world and things popping up. You know, I can sniff it out. You know, I smell the fragrance. I know when God is wanting to do something, and he's wanting to do something here. So this whole north of the northwest, which I'm calling this area, is being ruled by those three spiritual beings, those dragons. You know, God wants to establish legislation here to begin to deal with that. And those who are going to be willing is going to release blueprints. You know, blueprints and patterns are going to be released. They're going to be replicated all over this region. Once the first is established, you know, so the north of the north needs to be established first, you know, which is why I've come here first. You know, I didn't engineer coming here first, you know, God did, you know, so I've come here first, you know, so we can do something here first, which will enable everything else to get replicated elsewhere. So God wants to raise up a bench of three and an angel of the house in every area over the whole region. And that's really why I'm going to four areas on this trip. You know, because what I do here, you know, I'm going over to Yakima, I'm going over to Portland, and I'm going down to Corvallis. So north, south, east, and west as far as spiritually representing. So I believe we're going to see shaping history here. You know, people hear the sound and respond. There's a call to a destiny which is history changing and history making. Because you know, that's what we're supposed to be. Agents of change, shapers of culture, changing history, establishing heavenly government. Yeah, so I'm going from here to Atlanta, and I know that that's a significant thing. You know, I've already, the connections are made between here and Atlanta. You know, they had a group the other day that met before I came and did some stuff and got some mandates in heaven and stuff online, and the Atlanta guy was in that. So they already are starting to talk and connect, which I was really excited to see. You know, I was sort of watching it going on, which was great. So northwest to southeast, there's going to be an arc that forms there. Those who are here from the outside of this area today, you aren't here by accident. You're here to establish connection. You know, and I think we're going to start to see that, because I think the southwest has to connect with me and here. You know, I have connections down there, but people in California in the Alpha Group and where I've been connecting, but we need to see arcs formed. We need to see connections formed. You know, because it's that government which is going to start working together for the whole nation. And, you know, you can look at it and think, oh, this is all impossible, isn't it? I mean, it's just like, when I look at it and think, you can't make this happen. You can't engineer it. I mean, I didn't know there's going to be two people from the southwest here. But God knew, and God sent them. You know? You know? And that's significant. You know, other people might not think so, but I know it is, you know, because I can see. So we want to see this form, and we want to see this first arrow in place, and we really want to see everything start to work there. So, you know, again, you know, I want to call you, as I did this morning, to listen to this call, and then we're going to step into heaven, and God's going to give you some mandates for those who are willing to embrace them, and some blueprints and some things. So close your eyes and just open your spirit and hear the call of God. Because this is God speaking, not me. It says, I call your spirit to attention. Spirit, listen as a true son. I call forth your identity as the Joshua generation, the order of Melchizedek. I call forth your destiny to manifest God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. I call forth your destiny to fill the earth with God's glory. I call forth your identity, your destiny, and your authority as lords to administer God's rule on earth as is in heaven. I call forth your identity and destiny and authority as kings to have charge over God's heavenly courts. I call forth your identity and destiny and authority as sons to stand in God's presence and be displayed on the earth. I call forth your identity, destiny, and authority as sons of God to answer the groan of creation and restore it to original condition and purpose. I call forth the Joshua generation in the northwest to rise up and take possession of their inheritance. So let your spirit resonate with that call, and now accept that call and come into the realm of heaven. So we're going to walk up those steps, engage Jacob's ladder, engage the open door. So start thinking about the ladder going from here into heaven. Just by faith, open the eyes of your heart, engage your spirit. Just step into that realm. Jesus is there, he's going to meet you. You're going to engage around the Ark of His Presence. Scrolls, mandates are going to be released. You're going to get invested with those, not just your personal mountains tonight. Some of you are going to get invested on mountains of authority over this region. So you're going to get a new crown, a new mantle, a new scepter and other things. And you're going to, some of you are going to have to face those dragons. So, just step into that realm. There's a door standing open in heaven right now. Hear the invitation from the Lord to say, come up here. And just embrace that and walk up those steps. Step through the veil and enter the realm of the kingdom. Jesus is standing in the doorway. He's waiting for you. Just come and present yourself to him as a living sacrifice. Surrender to whatever he wants to give you tonight. Do not be under inferiority, fear, or inadequacy. You've just come higher than that realm. So just embrace that atmosphere, that freedom, that confidence to come boldly. To be with assurance draw near. To draw near to him. Just breathe in the atmosphere of heaven. Just feel the confidence when you're joined in the harmony and the symphony of heaven. And just set your focus right now on engaging the arc of the presence of God. So I ask you, Jesus, just to take each person to come into your presence through the veil of the way and the truth and in through the life, all opened up, so each person can come and stand before your presence. Just let the frequency of your will, your voice, resonate with them. Just open your heart to His purpose for you, your position in government. Just let Him begin to write on your heart. Let Him open your heart up. Unveil His purpose and plan for you. For those of you who are called to different regions and different areas here, embrace the call. Hear His voice calling to you to take your place. Just start to resonate with it. Let your spirit come into agreement. Say to Him, I'm willing. I'm willing to receive whatever you want to give me. So start looking into His presence right now. Four faces of God. Four faces of God. Lion, ox, eagle, man. Just start to see that presence of God, the government of God. So if you feel called to one of them, just embrace that. Let the lion roar. Let the ox breathe out the word of God. Let the eagle take you and show you the heavenly perspective for blueprints. So just let your spirit engage right now. Let it engage right now. Just start to see His perspective for this region where you live, the area you're called to. Just start to come into resonance. Now, as you look into government, as you look to embrace your place in government, whatever it might be, whether it's over the whole area, whether it's over a region, whether it's over your own life, whatever it is right now, it's all about God's call to you to rise up. So receive your scroll. Let Him give you the scroll of being in His name with His authority right now. That scroll will carry with it a mandate, an authorization from God. Some of you are going to be commissioned right now by Him with this scroll. Be willing to take it. Some of you are going to be released in having blueprints released to you right now. Some of that's going to be for your ecclesia. Some of that's going to be for your region, your area. Some maybe even for your nation. But receive those blueprints from Him. It may come in the form of a scroll that you can't read, but you can take into your spirit, and your spirit will begin to embrace it and absorb it. It may be just words and impressions that come, but don't be too concerned about understanding it all right now. Just receive it. Just take it into your spirit. Accept the call. That call to take your position of government over the specific areas that right now you're feeling drawn towards, that you're willing to take responsibility for. So take those scrolls and take those mandates and take those blueprints. And Jesus, I ask right now that you'll lead each person to take those authorizations and take each person to the Chancellor's court. As he takes you through that door, through that realm, into the Chancellor's court, before the Chancellor's bench, and just present your scroll to the Chancellor's, present your blueprints to the Chancellor's, your mandate to the Chancellor's, that they unveil it, they unroll it, as they look at it, and you'll find that they will seal it. They'll give you their seal of approval that authorizes you to commission you into this place of authority. They seal it with the lion, ox, and eagle. And they want your agreement as the man in this to say, yes, I accept the call. I accept the responsibility. Some of the cloud of witnesses are starting to gather around this. They're going to start cheering you on. Well, as you've taken that seal, as you've received that authorization, I ask Jesus now you would just take each person to take that into the court of scribes, going through the veil, through the door, as we present that sealed scroll, that mandate, that blueprint, the scribes take it, open it, read it, and they begin to record it and copy it onto a new scroll. And as they do so, it will be put into record. It will be put on the statutes. Your name is written in this place. All heaven knows of your call and what you've been authorized to do. You now have the authorization of heaven. Just feel that authorization. Just be confident in who you are and what you've been called to. Now, Jesus, I'd ask again, just take each person, take them through the door, and take them to the court of angels. And as you engage the court of angels, unveil your sealed and authorized scroll or blueprint or mandate to the court of angels. They know your authorization. Just see who comes, who will be drawn, which orders will come to you. They're lining up, waiting to volunteer, waiting for you to receive them. Cloud of witnesses are right opposite and they're watching this. You have angelic assignment to help you in this area, assigned to you. Now, just take that scroll, the blueprint and the mandate, take it to the mountain. Just ask Jesus to take each person to that mountain, that realm of authority that each one has been called to. and take your place. Be seated and let him give you a crown and place it on your head, a new mantle of authority and a scepter, and take your place and receive everything that he has for you in this governmental position. There may be one of you on the same throne. There may be two of you. It's like God calls you to this place of authority. And he's authorized you and empowered you. And Jesus invests you with his confidence. Because you have been authorized and commissioned. Just receive that. And in that place of authority, just begin to look around. You know, start to see and look down. Just take that scroll and put it in your mountain, in your heart, that gives you authorization for this place of government. Now, as you're used to coming here, you'll be used to coming. You'll begin to frame things. You'll begin to call other people to the government. This is your place of authority. Just know who you are, who you've been called to be. There's so much excitement going on right now in the realms of heaven. It's like those angelic legions have been waiting and longing. Those three angelic beings, those three chiefs, are standing in the realm of heaven watching, ready to start working with you. Each of the different regions has angels assigned to each throne, each place of government. Okay, now I want to encourage you, don't be afraid of sharing with each other what happened. Don't think, oh no, I can't tell anybody that I was called to this. You have to be free to be yourself and what you've been called to do. You know, and then you need to begin to call to each other and begin to look at how are we going to administrate this together. Amen.
God has given us a mandate to raise up a Joshua generation who will enter into the promises of God and lead others to do the same. Are you part of that Joshua generation? If so, check out our Engaging God program. Join a worldwide community of pioneers. Learn how to access God in the realms of heaven and take up your responsibility as a son in his kingdom. Freedom Apostolic Resources. We're here to help you find and fulfill your destiny.